Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, thank you so much for your support, and thank you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Of course, we've got you covered 365 days a year. If you haven't yet, just make sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, make sure to get those notifications every time there's a new video. And if you're on the audio channels, if you can give those five-star reviews and or just make sure that you're getting automatic downloads of the show every day, those things help the show a ton. Always appreciate anything that you can do. But most importantly, as always, just thanks so much for being here. Today is going to be a quick break from our NFL draft deep dives. Tomorrow, I'm going to finalize our overall draft deep dives as we finish up the UDFAs. We're going to go through the 10 undrafted free agents tomorrow on Sunday. Today, though, we're taking a quick break on the draft picks and the undrafted free agents to go through Isaiah Simmons, a player Green Bay recently signed, had the opportunity to run through his tape both in Arizona and in New York. Very fun player. So we're going to discuss that, in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple quick things. Number one, I am recording this at about 1:30 p.m. on Friday. It's always a little bit of a scary thing because sometimes we get Friday news dumps or crazy things happen at the end of the day on Friday. I don't know if anything's going to happen. Maybe we get a Taylor Algirsma signing. Maybe we end the longstanding Jair conversation. We shall see. But if you're wondering why I'm not talking about any crazy thing that happened at the end of the day on Friday, that is why I'm recording this a little bit earlier. Second thing is that I have a bold prediction for you. Posted this out on Twitter on Friday. Here's my bold prediction. Green Bay is going to go undefeated in preseason. I think they are set up for massive preseason success. Does it matter at all? Absolutely not. Are we raising any banners for it? Unquestionably no. But I do think this team is going to be set up to be a pretty darn good preseason team. And what you always look at is like, where's the depth at, right? Well, first of all, Malik Willis should get a good chunk of playing time as the backup quarterback. That's always a huge aspect. You have not only a good backup quarterback, but somebody who, if things break down, has the ability to win with their legs as well. He's a veteran. He's going to be working towards, you know, a contract next year. Like, this might be his only opportunity to prove himself. Hopefully there's not a Jordan Love injury where he gets another opportunity in 2025. So Malik Willis is probably going to go and try to do everything he can to ball out this preseason. The stable of running backs. Yeah, you're probably not going to see Josh Jacobs any, if at all, but you've got Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, Marshawn Lloyd. We're going to talk about Amar Johnson tomorrow, the undrafted free agent. He's really fun. The depth at wide receiver is crazy. Like, they've got good wide receivers up and down that roster. You're probably going to see a lot of playing time for Savion Williams, Matthew Golden, and then even guys like Malik Heath, Bo Melton should get a ton of time. The offensive line has now a ton of depth on it, and I could see where you get a world where Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton, Jacob Monk, Travis Glover, Kadeem Telford, those guys play a ton. And we can just go on and on. We talked about with Justice Mosqueda a couple weeks ago, like Colin Oliver might set the preseason record for sacks with his pass rush ability off the end, like going up against some of these, you know, offensive tackles that may not have the NFL movement skills. This is setting up to be what I think can be a very special Green Bay Packers team in the preseason. We'll see what happens in the regular season. Still some high hopes for that team overall, but man, this has the ability to be a absolute juggernaut when it comes to the preseason. So does it mean anything? No. Is it a fun conversation? Sure. For 2 minutes. And now we move on. And that's my bold prediction on this Friday as I'm recording Saturday, as you're listening to it. Let's get right into, however, Isaiah Simmons. Packers sign him as a free agent linebacker, which is notable because he's been sort of this linebacker safety hybrid. It's actually a decent place to start right off the bat. Yes, he's been a linebacker safety hybrid. When you hear safety, he's been a box safety, aka kind of a linebacker. And then a little bit, not a little bit, actually a lot in the slot. So kind of that big nickel, somebody who lines up in the slot quite a bit. You very rarely see him like back deep at safety. It's incredibly rare that they've done that. So you hear safety and you think, oh, he can play some, no, he's not playing any cover two back there. He's lining up in the slot, which is a very unique aspect of his game nonetheless, but it's mostly box safety, linebacker, and slot is where you see him primarily lined up. Let's go through his profile first. He was the eighth overall pick by the Arizona Cardinals in 2020. 6'4", 238 pounds. He is 26 years old. He will turn 27 in July. As a linebacker, had a 9.97 relative athletic score. He did not do the agility testing, which is somewhat noteworthy, but 9.97 relative athletic score per, as a linebacker with 94th percentile height, 63rd percentile weight, 85th percentile arm length. He's got a huge wingspan, 52nd percentile hand size, 53rd percentile bench press, a 96th percentile vertical jump, a 99th percentile broad jump, 99.9th percentile in the 40-yard dash. Remember that that time speed for Matthew Golden? Well, Isaiah Simmons, as a linebacker, ran a 4.39, a 4.39 for Isaiah Simmons. Just like put that in the back of your mind for a moment. Let that marinate. A 4.39 40 at linebacker for Isaiah Simmons, had a 97th percentile 10-yard split, and as mentioned earlier, did not do the agility testing. Some athletic comps for him for mock draftable were Kenneth Murray, Boss Bailey, still one of my all-time disappointments in NFL draft history. I knew the Packers were going to take a linebacker. It was announced Packers select linebacker, and I was hoping Boss Bailey, and it ended up being Nick Barnett. Thank you for the Green Bay Packers for being right and me for being wrong. Boss Bailey went on to have an okay career, but nothing the extent that Nick Barnett did. But I digress. Manny Lawson, a old 49ers linebacker / edge rusher, another player on that list. So Kenneth Murray, Boss Bailey, Manny Lawson were the mock draftable comps. And then the RAS comps were Jamin Davis, who spent a little bit of time with Green Bay, and then Tariq Carpenter. So some interesting names there, just to kind of keep sort of an eye on. But, you know, for Carpenter, remember, he was a Packer as well. Safety, linebacker, hybrid. Like, that's a, you know, kind of a crazy comp, right? Didn't work out with Carpenter in Green Bay. Seemed like he never really wanted to make that jump to linebacker, tried to kind of make it as a safety, whatever. Like I said, Jamin Davis had a cup of coffee in Green Bay this past year, but those are some of the athletic comps. It doesn't mean that's who he is as a player, but just to kind of give you an idea of the athleticism. He, as mentioned, has played safety, linebacker, slot corner, and of course, special teams. He's got a lot of versatility that he can bring to the table. Again, don't expect him to be playing deep safety or anything like that. And Green Bay has labeled him as a linebacker. At least that's where he's going to start off. Matt LaFleur did make mention of the fact that when they watched him on tape, they saw him all over the place on the field, which is one of the things that, of course, drew them to Isaiah Simmons. And we know how much Green Bay loves their versatility and their versatile players. So he fits right in that regard. I always love taking a look back at the draft profile for these players. This was for, obviously when he was coming out of the draft as a very high-end prospect. This was per Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. Quote, Simmons is a ascending hybrid talent with rare length, speed, and versatility to create mismatches for the offense depending upon alignment. He has a bachelor's at three positions, slot corner, safety, and linebacker, but could earn a master's degree in a complex workload with a more focused and defined job description than jack of all trades. He can handle zone or man coverage from a variety of spots on the field, which gives defensive coordinators a chance to disguise blitz packages and exotic post-snap looks. He'll miss run fits and can be misdirected due to a lack of instincts near the line, but his playmaking in range outweighs those concerns for now. His unique potential to spy and shrink the field against dual threat quarterbacks could push him way up the draft board. And it did, but this scouting report ended up being very appropriate. Basically saying, you know, he was a jack of all trades, but he was a master of none. And that was very true. And that's been the case in the NFL so far. Also mentioned that his blitz packages and his ability to disguise blitzes, that we're going to talk about that as a big time strength for him. That's really fun. But then missing the run fits, misdirection, and his lack of instincts near the line of scrimmage, those things have also come to fruition in the NFL. So kudos, Lance Zierlein. Your, you know, scouting report was pretty spot on, and it's kind of the strengths have been still his strengths in the NFL, but the weaknesses have not exactly been corrected and have remained weaknesses at the NFL level. All right, per PFF, in 2020, had a 59.8 grade on 376 snaps. In 2021, a 49.7 grade on 1,024 snaps. In 2022, a 67.8 grade on 897 snaps. In 2023, a 68.9 grade on 378 snaps. And in 2024, only a 45.5 grade on only 181 snaps. So kind of the peak of his career was the 2022-2023 seasons, where He was graded above average, played almost 900 snaps in 2022, and then almost 400 snaps in 2023. Again, grading out pretty well along the way, but a pretty big step back this past year where he barely played under 200 snaps, and when doing so, only had that 45.5 grade. His coverage snaps by season, this is from earliest in his career to most current, 69.9, then 56, 69.9, then 82.7, but last year only a 43.6 coverage grade. His run defense grades, 57.6, 40.5, 47.0, 54.7, actually had his best run defense grade this past year to 61.5, but has been below average every year before that. His tackling grades, 76.3, 61.3, 63, 41.6, 49. So he has gone pretty downhill with his tackling over the course of his career, really being a strong aspect of his game when he first came into the league, and this past 2 years really being pretty atrocious at it in New York. In his career, he's had 1,972 plays lined up in the box, basically as a linebacker, or if you want to consider him a box safety in those situations, but 1,972 in the box, 815 plays lined up in the slot, and only 160 times lined up as a defensive back or a safety. So primarily, he has been either a box safety, a linebacker, or again, lined up as that big slot, you know, nickel guy, you know, in that, those sort of like big nickel formations. Hey friends, Andy Herman here. Now that the draft is over, there's plenty of time to focus in on the basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, and of course, the heart of the baseball regular season. And you know what else it means? It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick on more or less to get your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. Right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Aaron Judge is going to hit another home run this week? Or how about Juan Soto with more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Christian Yelich to finally get hot for Milwaukee, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on options for Aaron Judge as well because he is out of his mind right now. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. From a coverage standpoint, in his career, he's been targeted 211 times, allowing 161 receptions, a 76.3% completion percentage for 1,539 yards, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 10 pass breakups, has 8 penalties, but all 8 of those were prior to 2022. He has given up a 102.0 NFL passer rating when targeted and gave up a 106.5 quarterback rating when targeted this past season. One other PFF note, he was given a 88.2 special teams grade in 2024. That is a very special and noteworthy aspect of his game that we're going to talk about quite a bit. From an injury standpoint, he has been extremely healthy in his career and has played in every game of every season. He's had a couple of minor injuries here and there, but nothing that's ever kept, you know, kept him out of a game. So I don't know if we want to do the whole best ability is availability thing, but he has been consistently available and not injured throughout the entirety of his career, knock on wood. From a scouting report standpoint, let's get to our positives and the negatives. From a positive standpoint, as we just mentioned, availability. You want guys that are going to be out there competing every single week, practicing, trying to get better, and that's been Simmons to a T. Just does not miss time, does not miss practice time. He's out there competing, and you can count on him to be ready for game days. At least that's how it's been in his career so far. It's not to say that, of course, like, well, if he suffers a torn ACL, he's still going to go out there. You know, injuries are going to happen, and you can't always prevent them. But throughout his career so far, you know, whether you want to define things as injury prone or whatever, like he has not been. He has been very consistent when it comes to availability. And then, of course, should go without saying as well, but we can note it nonetheless, just freaky athleticism. This is a player that, you know, if you're going out to recess and the entire Packers, you know, roster is on the fence, like Isaiah Simmons is going very high just on the, you know, guys lined up on a fence, recess, picking players back and forth. He's going to go pretty high based on his overall height, weight, speed, athleticism. You're going to look at him immediately and be like, yep, want that guy on my team. Unbelievably fast, unbelievably tall, unbelievably strong, like just everything that you want. I know he didn't do the agility testing, but it's not like a major weakness of his either. He is just a really sound athlete that has everything that you look for from a pure athleticism standpoint. Number three is his special teams ability. Listen, if we're being real, and we'll get to the negatives obviously here in just a minute, he has not worked out as a defender. It's not been what he's been great at. Do I think there's ways to utilize him as a defender? Yes, and we're going to get to those. But if you're talking about somebody that you're going to take and play, you know, 800 and 900 snaps per game on defense, that's just not what you're not going to get out of him what you want. It's not going to probably end well for you playing that many snaps with Isaiah Simmons on the field on defense. Just hasn't worked out that way. Doesn't mean, again, that he can't help you on defense in some situations, but also, and at least when you're signing a guy, you know, Green Bay is not spending a top 10 draft pick on him here. They're signing to him a very minimal deal. And what you're hoping is that he can come in and be a special teams ace and a special teams stud that can help you in a variety of different ways. He's been very impactful for the Giants, specifically in kick coverage, punt coverage as well. He's had some return blocking assignments that he's done well on as well. But specifically in kick coverage, he's done a really nice job. And that is something that I think Rich Bisaccia will be able to use at his disposal. I mean, he fits into a T, right? He can get down the field with using that insane speed. Plus, he's got the height, the tackle. I mean, I know the tackling's taken a hit, but he's actually been pretty good at it on special teams. He fits exactly what you want there. And his special teams ability has really stood out. And it's probably what is, you know, the main reason he's on this roster right now. So you can line him up and put linebacker next to his name on the depth chart all you want. Just know that his primary objective is going to be special teams in Green Bay. And then again, we've talked about this already, but the versatility. When you are a back of the roster signee, okay, you're somebody that is getting a pretty minimal deal and is going to have to make their way onto the team, you know, via training camp and just kind of compete for that job, right? One of the best ways to get on the team in those situations is clearly special teams. But above and beyond that, how you get, you know, active on game days on the 48-man roster, if you're a back of the roster guy, is special teams plus versatility. That's going to get you an opportunity to be active far more often than not. Then when you're active, you're an injury or two away from getting on the field playing, and maybe you have the opportunity to go and prove yourself and show what you're capable of. But you got to get on the active roster first. And the best way to do that, again, is special teams and versatility. And for Isaiah Simmons, he has those things in spades. Again, we talked about the special teams ability, and we talked about, hey, this is going to be somebody who's going to be a backup linebacker for you that you can put in some specific packages. If all of a sudden you need a nickel corner and like you need a break glass in case of emergency guy, guess what? Isaiah Simmons can do that. And even in a pinch, I'm not saying it's ideal, but even in a pinch, all of a sudden your safeties start going down. You got three safeties that are out of the game or something. You need another safety out there. Guess what? Isaiah Simmons can do that too. So he brings a lot of versatility to the table, can play a lot of different positions, wear a lot of different hats. I wouldn't even put it by him, by the way, like if you were in an emergency and needed an edge rusher, like I think he could probably do a little bit of that as well. So most of these are, again, multiple injuries have happened to get to that point. But when you've got a guy in your 48-man roster, again, you only have 48 for game days. So when you've got a guy that can do a little bit of everything and be a core special teamer, that's going to give him that real opportunity, not only to make the team, but actually be active on game days. All right, some other positives. He does a really nice job on those double A-gap blitzes. So we're going to see more of those mug fronts, which again, are very in vogue with teams right now. He is a very good, you know, opportunity to use that. And then, you know, he and whether it's him and Quay, him and Edgerrin Cooper, like him and Edgerrin Cooper would be really fun in that spot next to each other. Because you're just talking like unbelievable stupid speed at those two spots. And if you're gonna, like, as a center, like, you've got to just be freaking out, like, legit, not what am I supposed to do in this situation? And if you're a running back too, like, if you're gonna do any sort of like fake handoff or anything, that running back's gonna have to abort all of that to get in that gap right away and pick up that blitz, because it is going to be a problem if you've got Simmons and, you know, whether it's Simmons and Quay or Simmons and Cooper. And of course, if it's Cooper and Quay as well, that's a problem in and of itself. But you've got some just ridiculous speed on those double A-gap blitzes. And by the way, like, Simmons has got decent physicality too. Like, he will pick off some of those players to open it up for whether it's Quay or Cooper and allow them to go get the glory. He's not, you know, against doing some of the dirty work to set somebody else up for success. Can definitely use him as a quarterback spy. The change of direction and the ability to kind of break down in the open field isn't perfect. So if it, depending on who the quarterback is, if they're just straight line fast, you can probably use Simmons a little bit more. If they've got a lot of wiggle and it's somebody that is really difficult to, you know, kind of, you know, just bring down in the open field because of their agility and their, you know, change of direction, their jukes, whatever it might be. That may not be the perfect guy. You may want to use Edgerrin Cooper or somebody else, but I still would say, you know, this is a player that if you need to use him as a spy, he can definitely do it. And he's got some real speed to be able to kind of keep those guys in contain and make sure that they're not getting out in open field. And he will get there in a hurry if they start taking off. All right. Blitzing from depth. This is the one I kind of want to go into a little bit greater detail just because it is a very fun aspect of his game. There's a lot of blitzers that can come from, you know, near the line of scrimmage and have success. You know, if you disguise it well enough or if you are, again, just timing it up right, there's a lot of different players that can do that. But the unique piece with Simmons is that he will be lined up pretty far away, whether it's as a slot corner or whether it's as a, you know, somebody that's a little bit deeper than maybe the traditional blitzer might be, like in a double A gap. He comes from depth, and because of his crazy speed, it's almost like the, you know, where he's lined up ahead of time, he's giving no tell that he's going to blitz, and he's off the line so much that you just kind of forget about him and you're not expecting him to be the guy. But then all of a sudden the ball is snapped and he's coming from depth and blitzing. And with that 4.39 40 speed, man, he is there in a hurry. And it's like the offensive line forgets about him. It's like the quarterback forgets about him. All of a sudden the quarterback hits like step three or four of his, and all of a sudden he sees Isaiah Simmons, this 6'3", you know, hulking dude bearing down on him with a 4.39 40 or 6'4" even that he is. And it's all of a sudden it's panic mode because this guy's coming free. So you can use him on some very unique and creative blitzes coming from depth because they don't really see it coming. And he's a really talented blitzer from that level of the field because of that speed. So that's another great way to use him. Occasionally, you will see him actually take on some blocks in the run game. This was one area where we saw a little bit of improvement. You saw that run defense grade step up a little bit in 2024. By no means was it consistent. And my high-end recommendation for you would be to not have Isaiah Simmons on the field on running downs. I just don't think it does you a whole heck of a lot. If you want him on obvious passing downs as a spy, as a blitzer, somebody that can get into some passing lanes with his height, I am cool with that. I understand it. I get it. I would mostly keep him off the field on running downs, but he did do a little bit better job of taking on blocks this past year and shedding some of those blocks to go make plays. It was rare. It wasn't consistent, but it did show up on tape a couple different times. He fits Jeff Hafley. I mean, versatility, unique talent, and Hafley, if anyone can find a way to utilize him, it's going to be Jeff Hafley. But again, you just are looking at players who can rally to the football, get there in a hurry, you know, are unique pieces that you can drop into coverage from different layers of the field that can blitz from different layers of the field. I think he fits with Jeff Hafley very, very well. He rallies to the football and has great effort. There's a play where he's inside as like almost like that double A gap look. There's a wide receiver screen to the outside, hustles all the way to the outside of the field, lays a big hit, forces a fumble. And then I forget who it was. I think it might've been Buda Baker that scooped it up and returned it for a touchdown. But either way, just that effort and that rallying to the football is very evident. And again, that fits very much with what Green Bay is trying to do on defense. He's actually pretty dangerous with the ball in his hands too. So if he does get a pick or a fumble recovery, he's had a couple pick sixes in his career. Again, you're talking about Matthew Golden speed at linebacker. Yeah, if he gets the ball in his hands, he can do some things. So if he jumps a route and, you know, picks it off, it's good night. He's going to take that thing to the house because he's running away from you and not many people are going to catch him with the speed that he has. And then last but not least, we talked about that slot position, right? Where he played in the slot. I want to label three different plays because he's very unique in the fact that this is a linebacker, okay? This is a linebacker playing in the slot. I don't care if he was a linebacker safety coming out. Even safety is like, heck, Javon Bullard at times struggled to cover in the slot at times. I have three plays that I want to talk about with him in the slot. One is Keenan Allen. I'm not talking about Bears Keenan Allen. I'm talking like 2022 Chargers Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert at quarterback. He gets matched up one-on-one with Keenan Allen. Now, Keenan Allen ends up coming down with the ball out of the end zone. So he's out of bounds. It's a good play by Keenan Allen, but Isaiah Simmons is there with him the entire time in contesting that play and really almost like forcing him closer to the sidelines and out of bounds on the play. But Simmons runs with Allen step for step and makes that a contested play. It's a nice play by Allen to come down with it, albeit out of bounds, but he's running with Allen as a really, you know, impressive wide receiver that entire way in contesting that play. That was an impressive play. There's a play against the Rams where the slot receiver comes across, comes behind him. He flips his hips well, gets his head turned, bats away the ball. And when it's batted away, it goes to another player on his team and it ends up being an interception on the play. Again, in the slot, they're trying to basically wrap around him, and almost every other linebacker you put in that spot, it's going to be a completion. And instead, bats it away, tips it up, intercepted, huge play. I believe that was for the Cardinals at the time. And if you remember, not to bring up anything negative today, I'm sorry for doing this in advance. You maybe mute for the next 30 seconds if you're not in a good mood and don't want to hear this. We all remember the Kevin King play against Scotty Miller, NFC Championship, right? Kevin King, end of the half play, gives up a huge touchdown right before the half. It's a nightmare situation and what just felt like a huge gut punch at the time. Well, we found somebody that can cover Scotty Miller against Tom Brady. Isaiah Simmons went one-on-one with Scotty Miller. Guess what? Miller's lined up in the slot. Simmons is against him. Miller's going right up the sideline, the same damn left sideline that Kevin King was responsible for. Miller's going up, streaking down the sideline. You know who's step for step with him the entire time? Isaiah freaking Simmons. So this is a very unique piece that, you know, again, if you need to use him a little bit in the slot, he's got some plays on tape where he shows he can hang with even some good wide receivers. That was Brady throwing him the ball on that play, by the way, as well, back in the day. So some very unique stuff from Isaiah Simmons, to say the least. Of course, there are a variety of negatives as well with Simmons' game. Number one, had a missed tackle rate of 18.2% in 2024 and 16.4% in 2023. We talked about that tackling getting worse. It's gotten a lot worse. And if you do want to see him on the field on defense, he really needs to clean that up. And hopefully it doesn't carry over to special teams. It didn't in New York. But again, if you start missing tackles, it's usually going to affect a variety of levels of your game. And that would include special teams. And that would be kind of a deal breaker. If all of a sudden tackling is just an issue for him everywhere, it's going to be hard for him to make this team. His instincts and football intelligence are just never developed in the NFL. And they weren't necessarily there in college. We heard the scouting report earlier from Lance Erline. That was kind of an issue of like, would he be able to develop them in the NFL? He would not. That is something that has never come along. He looks like a ridiculous athlete playing football, not a football player that happens to be a good athlete. So again, he just in and of himself, the unbelievable athletic ability and gifts that he has makes him a playable NFL player, but he never really quite looks like he has mastered the art of football in any way. It just still looks like almost always like a work in progress. Like there's just something missing that it hasn't clicked. Like the game has never slowed down for him. So it's great that he's got all these athletic gifts and tools, but his just football intelligence and IQ and awareness has never really developed the way that you would have hoped it would have through his course of the time in his career. Now, again, he's 26 years old. He turns 27 in July. Could that be something that comes later in his career still and it starts to slow down for him? Sure. And if it does, like, look out. That would be amazing. But at this point, I wouldn't go out of my way to expect that to happen at this point in time. As fast as he is, that 4.39 40 speed, a lot of times he plays too fast. He's coming in like a bat out of hell, and all of a sudden he'll run super fast, and then a player will just kind of juke him or cut back or do something to do anything besides run straight at him. And then, you know, you see Isaiah Simmons like Roadrunner and Coyote style, just run right back, like right off the cliff and then drop right down. So it's, you know, some Acme stuff for the Acme Packing Company. That is what you're seeing sometimes on tape, or just, it's ridiculous speed. He gets there in a hurry, but then it's like he's on like ice or like an oil slick or a banana peel and just goes right by. And then the player just cuts back and continues on their journey along the way. He waves goodbye to Isaiah Simmons, who is ridiculously laughably out of the play by that point. So he could use some slowing down and actually playing under control a little bit more, rather than it's like, yeah, you know, you're just smashing the turbo button in Madden and you have no idea how to do anything else. You're just playing fast. It's great, but there's a little bit more nuance that goes into it than that. His acceleration out of breaks is actually surprisingly unimpressive. For all of his athletic gifts, you would expect that, like, so imagine this, you're matched up with a tight end and he's covering that tight end, and the tight end, you know, has either like a two-way go and there's like that break at the top of the route and then he breaks one way. You see the tight end break that one way, and then there's almost like a little hitch in Simmons where there's not that acceleration where you would expect it to be like, oh, that tight end made that break and now Simmons is on it and now he's able to break up that play. That little separation that that tight end gets usually is enough to get him open, and Simmons can't catch up to it, which again is surprising. You would think with his unbelievable speed and acceleration that he'd be able to get there in a hurry. But outside of those breaks on, you know, tight end routes, he just hasn't been able to put those plays the way that you would kind of expect him to. I would say more often than not on defense, he's more likely to have a bad play than a good play. There's a lot of neutral stuff, but if you were just to take a random play and say, is this, you know, is it more likely to be bad or good? It's more likely to be bad. And that's just kind of been the state of his career so far. A couple of years in there, again, that he played a little bit more average style defensive football. But if you had to kind of rate overall, good play, bad play, neutral play, tons of neutral, but a little bit more bad than there is good, unfortunately. Some of the good is really, really good, really, really good, but more likely to have a bad play than a good play. As mentioned earlier, you don't want him on the field on rundowns. He hasn't found his niche on defense outside of special teams. That's been something he's found, but defensively he hasn't really found that spot. And then change of direction does show up from time to time where I don't think it's bad, but it's not a special trait for him. And again, some of those tight end, you know, outbreaking routes or just kind of changing those directions, it almost feels like there's a little hitch in that. And again, even in the open field, when he's going so fast, he just can't change directions because he's going so fast. So that does rear its ugly head from time to time as well. Contractually, Green Bay signed him to a one-year, $1.337 million deal, $167K in signing bonus. He has a $1.2 million cap hit. So he has a little bit of a veteran benefit for being a veteran and signing with the team, meaning Green Bay pays him a little bit more, but he counts a little bit less against the salary cap. What that contract should tell you is that he's going to have to earn his way onto the team. It's not going to be handed to him. He's not on a guaranteed deal. If he wants to be on this team, he's going to have to earn it in training camp, which is great. That's exactly what you want to see. If they release him, they'll take the $167,500 cap hit. That'll be it. They'll move on. They'll go in a different direction. And you know, where this kind of comes into play, by the way, if you want to think about it in sort of a, kind of a fun way, is take somebody like Juwan Johnson, who they signed as a undrafted free agent. Okay. If they were to keep Juwan Johnson rather than Isaiah Simmons, Simmons is set to make $1.2 million against the cap. Juwan Johnson set to make $840,000. So if you take the dead cap hit from Isaiah Simmons, the $167,000, and add it to the cap hit of Juwan Johnson, if Juwan Johnson makes it, even the dead cap hit of Simmons plus the low salary of Johnson is still cheaper than just keeping Isaiah Simmons. So it's a bummer that you have some dead cap hit, but if Juwan Johnson's just the better player, he wins out that job in camp, you're going to pay less to Johnson, even considering the dead cap hit of Simmons, than you would be by just keeping Simmons. So there's still an advantage to keeping the younger, cheaper player from that side of things, which again, just goes to show you that Simmons is going to have to make the team through his play if he wants a spot on this roster, which again is great. How I think he can fit in Green Bay: competition for the back end of the linebackers. Special teams is a clear and obvious one. Backup linebacker, possible sub-package player where you can get him in for some specific plays, whether that's QB spy or blitzing from depth. I think there are some packages and formations where you could get him involved if you really wanted to. An emergency nickel player, an emergency safety player. Right now, there's only 7 linebackers on this roster. So he has a really great chance to ultimately make the team. They could keep 5, they could keep 6, but either way, Simmons, as of right now, is probably on the top of that list that includes himself, Christian Welch, and Juwan Johnson, the undrafted free agent. You probably have 1 to 2 spots for those 3 players. And I would, again, put Simmons right now at the top of that list. The overall verdict here: a worthwhile find at $167,500 signing bonus. That's your downside. If you release him, it doesn't work out. Again, this is basically what you're giving to a high-end undrafted free agent as a signing bonus. It's nothing. It's, you know, something that you can, you know, you basically use as a rounding error when you're doing your calculations and your accounting at the end of the year. It gives you a flyer on a very special athlete that is a really good special teamer that has some versatility with some potential upside with almost no downside. Special teams value is huge. He's a very valuable player to have on a 48-man game day roster because of all the different hats that he can potentially wear. He will compete with Juwan Johnson and Christian Welch for those final 1 to 2 linebacker spots. And I just don't think, if anyone's hoping that, oh my goodness, they got a full-time linebacker, really cheap, super talented, I don't think you want him as a full-time defensive player. Couple roles here or there, could you use him? Absolutely. But special teams, depth, versatility, and maybe a spy or blitzing package every now and again. That is Isaiah Simmons. That is who they signed as their most recent free agent signee. And I do think it was a worthwhile investment. I'm excited to see what he does in camp and if, in fact, he can make that 53-man roster. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow breaking down all the undrafted free agents. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkel, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.